Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to another video. As you can see, I'm in Colorado here. It's a wonderful day, a little windy, but beautiful outside. It's so nice to sit by the windows where you can see the mountains. You may not be able to see them. It's a little bit cloudy today, but they're so beautiful with the white caps. And when you get a chance to look at them, which we do all the time, it's just nothing but, Lord, that's grace. Amen. That's your wonderful influence that you did that for mankind and made this earth so beautiful. Even in a fallen state, this earth is so beautiful. Well, now one of the things that we want to do is encourage you. Number one, that you can begin to let God be a part of everything you do. He gets into your life. You're every day walking, sleeping, you know, exercising, going to work, life. Let him be a part of everything you do. I think back over here to Romans 12 and verse 1 in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. Really, really good. And that kind of describes exactly what we're talking about when we say, let God be real in your life. Don't just have him locked up in your scriptures. Thank the Lord that we have scriptures and the Bible that shows us that individuals walked with God and talked with God and received amazing blessings from God. That Jesus is our prime example of what it's like to be constantly connected to the Father in a manner where the spiritual world interacts with the physical world, and it doesn't look like it's supernatural or miraculous. It just looks pretty normal to Jesus. This is what we want for you. Number two, that you would have answers to your prayers. And when God becomes real to you, then your faith is nothing more than just a response to him. You're constantly responding to the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Number three, then you'll have testimonies to share about how good God is to you. So we're going to go to our favorite scripture passage, Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible. And this is what it says, as it is the most amazing invitation from Jesus for you to have the exact relationship with the Father that Jesus had himself. Which would mean, if we can grasp this, we'll all have, think about it, Jesus did all the things he did in 3.5 years, and John even said, if all the books of the world, you know, were put together at one time, oh, they could not contain all the things that Jesus did. So I know they didn't have as many books as we have today, but the idea is we should have testimonies for days. So here it is. It says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles over to John chapter 3. We're going to look at this passage here where Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, and you can see some elementary principles that Jesus laid as a foundation to the spiritual world. Now, if we just wanted to look back at Genesis in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, you can learn a lot in those first three chapters as you see that God took spiritual reality, heavenly materiality, and created the earthly world that we have today that we put so much of our attention to and give so much of credentials to and give our trust and our worth to. I hope that makes sense. We give so much value to the earthly world that God made, but it was spiritual reality, heavenly materiality, that actually created this. So if you look right at the very beginning, you can see that when God created man and he breathed into man, Genesis 2:7, the breath of life, and Adam or man became a living being. At that moment when Adam opened his eyes, he was both seen out of his physical eyes to the earthly world as much and as real as he was seeing God with his spiritual eyes or his spirit. In fact, it doesn't seem to indicate that there was anything that was odd or peculiar. Like, wow, I'm really seeing into the spiritual world. Who is this person? This is my father. This is God. Or, wow, I can't believe that at the same time I'm seeing God, I'm actually able to grab a hold of the apple. No, both worlds and the tangibility of both worlds were normal to Adam, which means that God wanted our physical body and the senses that we have to our physical body to be extremely well aware of the physical world, while at the same time our spiritual senses are extremely normal, regular, to be expected, real to the spiritual world. Sin dethroned that whole idea. And so now here we are talking about the unseen world, which is the home of your spirit. It is the place that your spirit lives from. And yet, because your spirit is living in a flesh and bone blood body, and it has a mind that has been conditioned to believe that this flesh and bone is the real world and is the real form of true reality, you find yourself having difficulty experiencing the spiritual world. Well, we just want to open up our eyes and our hearts to some things. I believe Jesus was saying some things, and even the way that he responded to Nicodemus's response of unbelief, his inability to comprehend what Jesus was saying, Jesus responded to him in a sense almost to say, you got to be kidding me. Why is this difficult for you? In other words, it wasn't difficult for Jesus because he was God, the Son. It wasn't difficult for Jesus because as a man, the spiritual world, he spent enough time in it until it became normal. Well, we look here in verse 5, and it says, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Of course, we already know it. By this time, he had said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is wondering, how in the world can I, as a man in the age that I am, get back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus answered, he said, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what's he actually saying? He's saying that there is an experience of the Spirit that is tantamount to the experience of the flesh, and yet it's much, much greater. So just like we understand that the significance of a child being born, and of course in the day that we're living right now, people are questioning this. People are acting as though it's nothing to just kill a child. Very interesting, isn't it? Because God actually looks at every single child in the womb as a real person. Amen. I mean, even though the flesh is maturing inside of that womb, the spirit is put inside of that child, and that child is a real person, and God doesn't lose any babies. I'm telling you what, all these babies that are being murdered through abortion, God doesn't lose any. But the point is, those babies are real people. Amen. Don't want to get political here, but at the same time, we should be standing up for what God stands up for. I mean, he said it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. What about kill an actual innocent baby? Well, as we go further, you can see Jesus was making some parallel to this, and he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So notice how Jesus is alluding to the spiritual world has a birth. Now, the first birth of the spiritual world was God putting you into your physical body while you were still in the womb. But because of sin, all men have died and fallen short of that glory, the glorious birth of God in your spirit. But there is a rebirth. There is a born again experience where your spirit man is made alive unto God through the precious work of Jesus Christ. And of course, this is the great gospel that we preach, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we preach this gospel for the purpose of every man understanding that the longing of their heart can be met significantly by Jesus Christ coming in to give you that born again experience. And that born again experience is for you to then have an awareness of the spiritual world. Just like a child, we would think it accurate, true, and right that a child would grow and develop in this physical world. Well, then your spirit should grow and develop in the spiritual world. So what I'm sharing with you right now is to debunk the idea that spiritual things are supposed to be difficult, that it is very supernatural. No, it's very natural. Very natural for your spirit to be born again and for your spirit to be quickened and made alive so that your spirit has spiritual senses that sense God. Now, whether you're saved or not saved, your spirit can sense the spiritual world. And we understand that all too well by those who have gone into the darkness to find Satan, spiritual darkness. And they become very good at spiritual wickedness, evil. But they do understand the spiritual world. In fact, let's just be honest for a moment. Let's just be transparent. Really, the world has done a better job at many, many things than the church has done because they've taken the time to explore it and they're not so skeptical of it. The majority of Christians are so afraid of the spiritual world. And yet you've got all kinds of people that are just digging right into the spiritual world of Satan and evil, and they're running with it as fast as they can. We've got scriptures at the end of this third chapter of John that shows us that the people of the world, they run to the darkness so that they will not be exposed by the light. This is a day where we're seeing this more than ever, the difference between darkness and light, evil and good, and people are running to the evil. It's just a whole lot easier to go with the flow of humanity than it is to stand against it and actually step out to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that every good and perfect thing in Christ is actually in you and you can experience it on a regular basis. You notice I'm giving such emphasis to this because I want you to become very, very aware that you experiencing God's grace, being moved by the influence of God, even as we look at things like the mountains and we look at the pastures and we see the beautiful blue sky, all of this is just what? It is the wonderful splendor of God's creation staring at us, revealing that God is real and that part of your heart that needs something deeper than what the flesh can give you. I know you love a good orchestra. You know, you love a good jazz band and just listening to the sound. You may love a good walk in the park, but there's nothing like coming face to face with Jesus and having the greatest desire of your heart met because you come alive in your spirit. And at that moment, things that were not real to you become real. This is what Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus, someone that actually should know these things. Just a few more moments, and then we'll have to give you a grace story and go on. But it says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Well, what does that mean? It just simply means that Nicodemus was marveling, like how does this happen? Oh my goodness, this is so beyond me. No, it's not beyond you. It's how God made man. Pretty obvious that when God made man, he made man spiritually to be very aware and cognizant of the spiritual world, most importantly, connected to God himself. When God made man and gave him flesh, he made that flesh to be very aware of the flesh world so that that man's flesh could live in the flesh world. However, isn't it interesting at the very beginning, what you see is that the spiritual part of man actually was the first part of man. The flesh was that which followed the spirit being connected to God and the wisdom and information that the mind would receive from the spiritual reality of man and God being together. The flesh would follow in that suit. And if God and you are leading the triumph, spirit, soul, and body, then your soul will be in the right position and your body will say, yes, sir. And there won't be anything wrong with your body, and your mind will be at peace and your soul will be at rest. And you will be so quick to respond from your soul to your spirit, and your body will just tag along instantly, and you'll have one experience with God after another. Now, that's how God made man. You look at Jesus and you see that's exactly what took place. And isn't it interesting that the devil, in his attempt, out in that wilderness in Luke chapter 4, tried to get Jesus to go against his mind being completely overwhelmed and convinced by his spiritual relationship with his Father. And he tried to tempt him, spirit, soul, and body, and get him to lay down the position and that place that he had with God that comes with being a son of God. This isn't something you have to work on, folks. This is something that is very natural to you. And I'm sharing these thoughts so that you can begin to start to think very naturally. Jesus said, do not marvel that you must be born again. Wow, it's taken a little bit of time to get into this, but we're going to jump into it, do the best we can at sharing some wonderful things that will help you to open up your heart and mind. You know, the grace of God is limited by the openness of your imagination, your heart, and your mind. So a quick little grace story, and I don't think I've shared this on Adventures in Grace, but I've shared it elsewhere. But we were in a meeting in Chicago, and there were some wonderful people there, and there was a minister there, just works greatly in the prophetic from South America, and his name was Solomon, and he came over to us while there was a bunch of ministry going on, my wife and I, Aaron and I, and we were sitting there, and he just knelt down, put his hands on our shoulders, and began to pray. And as he began to pray, he began to speak out some prophetic utterance. And of course, it was every bit of confirmation to what I already knew. That's the part about this New Testament prophetic office, is it gives confirmation to the thing that you and Jesus, because you're in fellowship, already know. This isn't like the old covenant where the only ones that had the ability to be connected to God were the ones that God chose as prophet, priests, or king, or judges. This is the New Testament. We're all sons of God, and our mediator is Jesus Christ himself. But anyhow, he began to share some things, and throughout the whole time of sharing, he mentioned multiple times about how God was pleased with us. Well, I just want to share with you, it was really good. It meant a lot to me, especially in our endeavors to move forward in our Healing by Design Healing Center here in Colorado. You know, things can be a little bit slow at times while you're getting the word out and people are learning about what's going on, and trusting as they come to the meetings that there actually will be results, which there are. And so in the midst of that, he said multiple times, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you, which was the Lord letting us know he was pleased with us. Well, that night I went back to the room and I just simply said, Lord, show me that you're pleased with me. Well, that next day, while Joshua Mills was preaching, for the whole hour, a half an hour of music, and at least a half an hour while he was preaching, I sat there smelling the very presence of the Lord, which smelled just like the rose of Sharon, just like my face was embedded in a whole bouquet of roses. And I just think to myself, everybody's got to be smelling this. And I finally, after about 20 minutes, I just leaned over and I said, Aaron, are you smelling all these flowers? And she said, no, I don't smell anything. And then I realized the Lord had just bathed me in that glory. And I was smelling those flowers, and I still remember a camp meeting where I was with Brother Hagin walking right down the stairs with him as that fragrance filled that camp meeting auditorium. And he said, do you all smell that? And of course I did. I smelled it. And he said, that's the fragrance of heaven. He said, that fragrance means that God is pleased with you. Well, I just wanted to leave with you that with you, because isn't that just like the Lord? I mean, he's really tripping over himself to show himself to you and to me so that we become aware of everything that is of the Spirit and begin to live from that place. Well, Adventures in Grace is on YouTube, as I trust you're watching now, but let people know so that they can come and subscribe and get on the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. But by all means, and we're going to share in the next segment some story, grace stories from some that have shared them and sent them in. Send in your grace stories to jhmi@jimhockaday.com. Just go to our website. You'll find it. And we want to hear your grace stories. God bless you.